Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. This is the Bristol City Vixen Cast. This is a podcast all about Bristol City women who are playing in the WFL. My name is Nat Brown.
And my name is Deanne Withers, and today we're going to be discussing Bristol City's 2-0 home defeat against Aston Villa. Villa's goals came late in the second half, and Megan Coloney's own goal on the 77th minute. And yes, you guessed it, who else but Ebony Salmon scoring her first goal of the WSL season in the 86th minute, charging down the right and popping in a cross, and then the cross being hit back to her and she finished it. And Liv Clark flailing at her near post, couldn't save it. So the little genius, the brilliant centre forward for us for so many years, who we miss terribly, scored against us and put the nail in that particular coffin. So miss you, Ebony Salmon. And glad to see you back in the WSL and scoring again. But it was so typical you did score against us. But anyway, I'm not going to go on. So we lost 2-0 at home. And in terms of the starting 11, a few changes. Abby Harrison made her first start of the season. First start of the season, because she was injured at the start of the WSL season. And Jamie Lee... Jamie Lee Napier was on the bench.
Yeah, that was sad, wasn't it? Seeing Jamie Lee on the sidelines. Although it was quite nice because she turned around and smiled quite a lot whenever you said something silly. It was great to see Abby Harrison back, but it was, as we'll probably talk about later, like, it was quite sad to see no Jamie Lee. She's fast become a really important member of the team, and she's just really important to us, and when she doesn't play, maybe we don't play as well for the entire time.
We definitely lacked a bit of oomph, didn't we, yesterday? That was for sure.
She's got plenty of that, hasn't she? She's got plenty of oomph. So it's just a bit of I think listen to our voices, we're a little bit kind of slightly dejected one.
Like, I think so.
Yeah, I think after the West Ham game, we were on such a high. After the Arsenal game, we were on such a high.
Well, that was unnatural.
That was preternatural.
That was hysteria.
It was, and now it's a bit of the balloons burst a bit, hasn't it?
It was the first game of this season that we played where I've come away and felt, you know, miffed and just thought, you know,
peeved.
Just thought, yeah, that wasn't very good. We look rubbish. And, you know, it wasn't great. I think it was a bit of a missed opportunity, to be honest. So in the first half, it was a bit even Stevens, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'd say the first half looked pretty even. They had a bit more possession than us, I think, but like their possession was rubbish. I think that's like one of the things that was annoying. They were really poor in the first half. They kept losing the ball. We kept turning it over. They would keep the ball and then do absolutely nothing with it. They were just really ineffective. And we were just kind of picking the ball up. We were picking them off. We were defending them really easily. They just didn't seem to offer anything. They were really unthreatening. And we should have really put them to bed. It kind of reminded me of last year's championship games against some of the... Yeah, I think we did this in the championship. There were games that were looking like we should have won it, or games where we had like more possession or more shots or something. We just didn't kill people off, you know. I think, yeah, it did actually. It felt like a championship game. Maybe in like the first season of the championship, where we just failed to kind of finish people off when we should have.
Yeah, it was definitely a missed opportunity in the first half, and we looked more dangerous. They're the only player that looked any good for them, and in fact, basically throughout the whole match until Ebony Salmon came on, was Kenza Dali, who just looked a class above everybody on the pitch, to be honest.
She looked significantly
amazing.
Better than every other Villa player.
Definitely.
And I think the first half, was that her first start as well?
It was her first start of the season, yeah.
So I think she just kind of, her trajectory was just straight up through the game, wasn't it? She always looked good, but she just continued to get better and better throughout the game to the point where, unfortunately for us, she was just running it in the second half.
Yeah, she's so dangerous and such a brilliant, actually, you know, despite the fact she was playing against us and being helping to undo us as a team, it was actually quite nice to see her live. She was good.
She was, yeah, she's amazing. Yeah.
Big, kind of, do like her as a player.
Yeah, she is amazing. Liked her for, you know, when she was playing at West Ham. She was fun to watch, wasn't she? And she seems like quite charismatic. So she's definitely got quite a lot of personality, a lot of football personality. She plays in a way that is, yeah.
It's quite magnetic, isn't it?
It is. You really want to watch her and you're really drawn to her. But it's quite annoying, isn't it, that she was just making everything happen. And whenever she had the ball in the second half, anyway, she looked really dangerous. But yeah, first half, missed opportunity. Should have really put them to bed because they were very poor.
They were, and I think we were getting some nice link-up play down the left with Abby Harrison and Ella Powell were doing some nice work together, linking up. Harrison playing on the wing, because we did wonder where Harrison was going to play, I think, and she was linking up well there. There was obviously that fantastic chance for Rachel Furness where the Villa keeper tipped it over the bar. Is it Van Donsela. She tipped it over the bar. Nice save. That was on the volley, I think. And I actually haven't watched back the highlights because
it's a bit too grumpy. Too much, yeah.
About it. But yeah, it looks good from the Fernie's shot. Looked good from where we were looking.
It was a beautiful shot.
Lovely shot. But unfortunately, we weren't able to get a goal. And actually, I think what was disappointing about yesterday's performance compared with our other performances this season is we just didn't really create any chances. We looked quite like lethargic or confused, or we weren't connecting. We weren't able to do that transitional work into the centre forward play.
Yeah, I felt like we were turning the ball over high and we were making some nice passes and making some nice moves, but they never just turned into, like, they have to turn into crosses and shots. That's, you know, we've shown that if we try, we can score. Yeah, so it was a disappointment to not have, you know, apart from obviously like the ridiculous Fernie attempt that was tipped over. And she did also have like an offside one that hit the bar. That was ridiculous as well. But yeah, it just, so too frequently we couldn't make high turnover, you know, high up turnover turn into anything useful. Yeah, it just didn't quite work. I don't know if they're just kind of maybe trying to figure out how to play, you know, how to play with Abby Harrison. She does play quite differently to a lot of other players. She's got quite singular in the way she plays. She's very,
but she was
like, her touch is quite unusual. She did a few things and you're just like, how did she even do that? She had this touch that managed to keep the ball in and it went up the line like another like 10 metres. And it got absolutely pinged at her. And I do wonder sometimes if she's like hard to read, even by our players. Because she does stuff and it's like, wow, I didn't imagine she was going to do that. She's full of flicks and ideas and tricks. And as soon as everybody starts figuring out exactly what she's going to do, it would be really hard to play against. But I did maybe get a sense that, does everybody exactly know what everyone's going to do today?
It did feel a bit strange, didn't it? Because you had Harrison playing
on the left,
yeah. And you had this overlapping wing back thing that with Ella were trying to do also with Fionn Morgan and Kerry Jones. I thought Kerry Jones she looked to me like she was kind of running into a brick wall or like, you know, trying to push a rock up a hill, like the whole game. She looked like she was just, you know, like on a treadmill or something. She was absolutely running her socks off but not getting anywhere. It looked or like running through quicksand or mud, you know you get the analogy. She just didn't look like she was getting anywhere. And yeah, it's kind of, obviously Jamie Lee wasn't playing, so I wonder if Jamie Lee had been playing and she'd been playing in the, she would have been in the Harrison role and that would have freed up the space a bit more. To have a bit more dynamism, and you know, Harrison wouldn't be so tethered to the wing. And like, I mean, I do prefer Harrison in a more central role, but I know, you know, Lauren Smith knows what she's doing, and it's horses for courses, and it's also about personnel you've got at your disposal. But I think pinning Harrison too much to the wing is...
Well, it prevents her from, like, shot taking, I think. So, yeah. Like, I think if Harrison has space in the middle, she'll shoot.
Yeah.
And if Harrison has space on the wing, she, you know, she has to kind of get more involved in, like, build-up play. Whereas we do want her... We want her receiving crosses and we want her having shots from outside the box. But anyway, I think, you know...
There wasn't that connection between her and Testrup. It didn't look like... It looked like there was clear understanding between Powell and Harrison, but, you know... Testrup was totally like frozen out of the game. I thought she just it wasn't her worst game, but it was her most ineffective game, and I really think probably through no fault of her own.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think it just kind of, I just don't think they kind of had fully under, like, it looked under rehearsed is all I mean. I think that's what I mean, and it's, you know, under rehearsed because Abby Harrison's been injured. And, you know, we've had this question before, haven't we? When Abby's fit, where is she going to play? And how do you make, you know, Carrie Jones, Abby Harrison, they seem like quite similar players. How do you make that work? Do you want these overlapping, like, wing backs? Whenever we use wing backs like that, we usually kind of seed quite a lot of kind of, you know, there's quite a lot of problems behind us. So that's, I felt like maybe they didn't quite know the fullbacks, like, are we going or are we not?
Yeah.
Like, Ella was going a bit, but then that meant that Abby was dropping into, like, the back five. Fionn didn't seem to really be on her game much at all.
Well, I think Fionn the whole season has been, like, more defensive than offensive, which I understand that's a position that she used to play for, like, Crystal Palace.
Yeah, and she can do it. Definitely.
She can definitely do it. Really, and actually, well. I thought she defended really well.
She did, yeah, she was great.
But if you have Fionn Morgan as a defender and playing in that role, you lose Fionn Morgan as an attacking force. And I'd much prefer to have, like, a defender do Fionn Morgan things and have Fionn Morgan attacking, because she can score worldies, she can beat players, she's really dangerous. But it's just a personnel issue. You play your best players on the pitch, the most competent players, and she's one of our best players, and she's probably one of our best players in defence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As well as in attack. So, yeah.
Because we didn't defend badly at all, did
we? No, we didn't. We looked good.
And I love the setup of Lazelle, Aspin and Connolly.
Yeah.
So, you know, cool. We've had another game. I know they didn't manage to do a job on Ebony Salmon, but we had a game in which Rachel Daly, who's not in sparkling form, I know, but we've had a game in which, like, a really, really, really good centre forward has come and they've kind of kept her quiet. Rachel Daly only caused problems well outside of the kind of, like, when she was in midfield, basically. She only seemed to cause problems when she was, like, clattering into
Abby
Rachel
Harrison.
Furness or Abby Harrison. It was just like, pick your battles. Do you know what I mean? Because if I was going to clatter into anyone, it wouldn't be them two.
No, well, exactly.
And, you know, so, yeah. But she didn't seem to be getting anything out of them.
No.
So I just think, I think we defended well. And lots of other things went really well. Amy Rogers was amazing.
I mean, yeah.
Like, turnover, really, like, fast turnover. But then I felt like, then what? I felt like she was able to, like, distribute the ball well. But yeah, I don't know. It's still just, it looks a bit work in progress, doesn't it?
I thought she was outstanding yesterday, Amy Rogers. I thought she was the best player on the pitch for us, like, by a very, very long way. And I haven't really noticed her before. Like, she's been a bit anonymous. Or, like, has seemed to be lost in the kind of the mix of the other elements. But I just thought she was absolutely brilliant. She was getting her foot on everything. She was breaking things up. She was had a really nice partnership with Furness. That's starting to look really good. And I really saw what she was about yesterday. And it was impressive. I thought she did a really, really good job. And it's just a case of, as you say, bringing that additional element to it where she can push it on and connect.
Yeah, I think it was just kind of, so I felt like we had a really solid back line and it's just now just trying to figure out how everybody does that job and, like, really thinking about that formation and who plays in it. And yeah, mind you, if we'd have scored, like, one goal in the first half, we probably wouldn't have been saying any of this, would we? We'd have just been like, yeah, there you go. Had lots of opportunities. Villa looked poor. But yeah, we needed to score. And we needed to be just a bit more...
More on the front foot,
just
yeah.
For them, because they looked so weak. We should have been absolutely trying to kill them off.
Oh, yeah.
In the first half. So 100%. I just think, like, if we can just get a bit more... ruthless because we're scoring goals. We're scoring goals. When obviously we didn't yesterday, but across the league and across competitions so far, we've scored goals probably more than anyone thought we would.
Yeah.
So it's just like, get at people. I think what it shows in the WSL so far is if you get at people, you can score. And unfortunately, if they get at you, they can score. But yeah. It's been way more fun than I imagined it would be because it's like...
Because there's been goals.
There's been goals and it's been, you know, it's been a competition. Yesterday was a competition and we should really have just seen that, you know, seen that kind of opportunity and just killed them. Killed them in the first half because they looked so sad.
They did.
Didn't they? They're, like the way they were holding their bodies, they were just like, their shoulders were drooping, they're kind of...
They were totally there for the taking.
They were. They looked miserable and they looked, you know, annoyed and they knew how badly they were playing. And that is when you have to go for them. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was a missed opportunity.
It certainly was. And I think, yeah, obviously Kaylin Marquesa, I keep saying her name wrong. Is it Marquise or Marquesa?
I thought it was Marquise.
Marquise. People keep saying her name in a different way. Anyway, so I was having a good game up to that point.
Yeah, and, she was. Then
clattered into the post and did her knee as well and had to go off or something. A few minutes before half time, and Olivia Clark comes on again. some kind of weird boomerang that she's got with the Bristol City goal. She like tried to get away. She tried to go to Watford.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Not going to happen. Fran Bentley gets injured. Kaylin Marquise gets injured. Yeah, a bit worrying. Shahan's question to us, is there a goalkeeping crisis? Crisis? What crisis?
I mean...
I don't know.
I mean, I think you could probably argue that having your first and second choice goalkeepers unfit and possibly unavailable to play is a bit crisis-y. However, Liv Clark is... amazing. And we've been talking about how good she is all season.
Yeah, she's perfectly fine. It's just what's kind of behind her. Do you know what I mean?
What's
it's
behind like, her is going to be
16-year-old.
A tall 16-year-old. Possibly not even a that tall 16-year-old, just a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
And, you know, worst comes to worst, Tiana Tizer with a pair of gloves on.
Who's looking a bit more kind of filled out,
She looks like a bit of a unit these days. So maybe Mary Ward. Pop Mary Ward in, she's tall. I think we'll be all right, but yeah, you're right. If Marquise is unfit to play, we will definitely just have to have the best academy goalkeeper. Mind you, there was one, wasn't there? We had a game and she was on the bench, I'm sure of it, last season or the season before maybe. Because I remember saying to Dan Smith at the time, I was like, you know, have you just got like a little kind of 3D printer or something where you just kind of pop out amazing goalkeepers? And there was one, I can't think what it was.
You're talking about Erin Foley
playing
in the Conti Cup?
No, I'm not even talking about Erin Foley. So there was Erin Foley, forgotten about her. She was great.
Yeah, I think she's...
And then there was another one, behind her in the pecking order, who like turned up, maybe it was kind of like a kind of an experience or something. She turned up and she was doing some kind of, she was maybe just doing the warm up or something with everyone. And we're like, who's that? I was like, there's another one.
Where are they now? Where's Dan Smith now? We miss you. Where are you? So the goalkeeping. So, I mean, I don't know if Kaylin going off put the team slightly off their step in the second half because they looked a bit peaky when they came out. They looked, I mean, the second half is probably one of the most annoying halves of football that I've watched in a long time.
That particular second half was really annoying because Villa came out having decided in over half time
they were going to try a bit harder.
That they were going to try
a bit harder, not like a,
yeah, not even impressive.
Yeah,
just try a bit harder.
Maybe like stand, you know, on the other side of the line in there.
Yeah, try and get half. Yeah, so yeah, they decided that they were going to do that, and we decided that 0-0 was fine because someone obviously looked at the standings during half time and said we're in 10th as it stands. And then we obviously decided, oh, we don't need to go for it. We don't need to get a goal. We'll just hold out.
I actually thought we looked nervous. I thought we looked like we weren't holding out for the draw. I thought we actually looked like we're frightened that they were going to score. That's the atmosphere, and maybe that was the atmosphere in the crowd. Maybe that was my vibe as well. But it was almost like the worst is going to happen, and the worst is that they score and that we lose this game. I felt like it was a bit like that. It wasn't totally dramatic, but it just felt, that's how it felt to me anyway. It's like they were nervous and they were frightened of conceding, and because of that they just stopped. They got in this really dull kind of repetitive, they just couldn't seem to get into another gear. It's like we were playing the game in third gear, and then Villa's game forced us to be in second gear. We just couldn't get out of second gear.
And that was interesting, wasn't it, what Lauren Smith said out after the game, that if other people are going to play slowly, we need to make sure that we have that dynamism and that turn of speed and that change of speed, because we just couldn't understand watching it. We couldn't understand as supporters what was going on, why when we turned over the ball, it was just like nothing happened. Nothing was happening. Yeah, it was just, and that for a lot of the second half, there was just this quite stagnant nothingness, just like kind of attack versus defence, yeah, where they stagnant. Had a lot of possession and they were not really doing anything with it. They didn't look very frightening still, even when they were good. Kenza Dali had warmed up significantly by the second half and started to look more of a threat. But we just didn't do it. It was just, we were just watching this game of football, and it almost was a little bit of like, why are we here moment. And like a little bit, it got a bit psychological, didn't it? And it wasn't very interesting. It wasn't very good. And then unfortunately,
it was poor.
And then unfortunately we had to have our subs, Fernie and Abby.
Yeah, I mean, when Fernie and Abby went off, we looked like we really kind of lost the plot, because it felt like, for the first time yesterday, I thought we looked a bit thin on the ground. Our squad looked a bit thin on the ground, which is worrying, because it's not like we've got tons of injuries or anything like that. But I mean, I think maybe it was because we were playing Aston Villa and they had Ebony Salmon and Jordan Nobbs coming off the bench. And
well, that was their Stanifor, substitution, wasn't it? Yes, Stanifor, Nobbs and Salmon, who are all England internationals.
Past and present.
And just got a lot of, loads of WSL, loads of international, loads of, NWSL. Got tons of, between them all, just got tons of experience. And we just couldn't compete with that, could we? We brought on Mary Ward, who's a great player, but, how old is she?
17 or something?
17? 18? 17? I don't think she's got a contract, has she?
Yeah.
So it's just like, so it's just, fair play to her. She didn't come on and play badly, didn't let anybody down, but it's just like, I think that almost said as much. And that kind of almost looked, when these other players came on, it was kind of like, So I think you're right. We did look a bit thin on the ground. Our subs need to be like, boom. They need to be just like,
when I looked at the team sheet, actually, I just didn't see anybody who could come on and make a difference, who could change the dynamic. And I think that was the problem. And I think, I don't know, it was a weird one. It was almost like, I don't know, and even Lauren Smith's comments afterwards, I found them a little bit surprising, in the sense that it was almost like she hadn't anticipated that Villa would play like that, and that it was maybe a problem that she hadn't anticipated and she didn't know how to solve. And like, she was also caught in that kind of quicksand as it was unfolding, or the slow sand. And she wasn't able to, because I kept looking at Lauren and thinking, why aren't you doing something? Why isn't somebody faking a knee injury and like everybody's going and having sport and having a chat? Why isn't anybody doing anything? Because it was weird. I don't know. I think sometimes it's like that, isn't it? And I think we've had a run of form, and we have to say, obviously we had that great win against West Ham, and then we went and played in the Conti Cup, travelled to Arsenal on Thursday, and with a squad of our size, which is essentially, obviously we had a lot of players who were sat on the bench on Sunday who played in the starting 11 on Thursday. But there were still a lot of players, like Furness came on, you know, Lazell played the whole game, like Connolly played the whole game. Mm-hmm. I did look at Connolly playing that whole game and I was just like, is she going to be all right for Sunday? Mm. And I mean, she was fine, but, yeah,
she
you know.
Look, she didn't look tired. She
didn't look tired, but no. she did concede the own goal and it was kind of her, it wasn't her fault for the second goal, but I think it was her, you know, her clearance. She cleared it back to Ebony Salmon. Mm. So, you know, it's... you know, whatever. It's like, she's been fantastic. So it's nobody's fault. It's everybody's fault that we didn't win that game. It was, you know, and even the crowd, we were a bit rubbish on, I felt like the crowd was a bit flat. I thought the Villa fans were fantastic in full voice, really behind their team. And that's kind of a problem actually at Ashton Gate. I think, you know, well, it's just that we were really loud at West Ham last week. I think we were, you know, we were really good.
It's sometimes easier to be the away crowd.
Definitely.
Because you've got tiny numbers and everyone just makes the noise. Like,
yeah.
Everybody there is making the same noise. Whereas, like, actually, I mean, this is the same for men's football as well. A lot of people just go along because they just want to go along. They're not involved in the singing. They don't necessarily want to do it.
No.
But there's quite a few people yelling. I think there's quite a few singers. Just need,
there is, yeah.
Love everyone to join in. But, you know, it was just a little bit, yeah.
We miss Shahan. We miss Shahan, like,
we did,
actually,
off. That kind of, yeah.
And I couldn't shout as much because I had an interview, not a job interview, but I was doing an interview at work and I fed up of turning up on a Monday being interviewing these publishing people for my job and, you know, in front of the students being like, hello, how are you?
Yeah,
so I was just like, I absolutely can't do that today because this woman's very impressive and I can't sound like a yob. So
so people were worried that you're out protecting the cenotaph or something.
Yeah, exactly.
You were at Ashton Gate with your friends.
And I was maintaining the integrity of my vocal cords.
Absolutely.
But that meant, I mean, not that it's my responsibility, but I probably wasn't as loud as I could
have
been.
I don't think it's your responsibility.
No.
But it was a bit flat. Mind you,
it was flat.
Final 10 minutes... changed to a back four. Fionn Morgan goes up front with Shania Hales and we suddenly look like we can play a little bit more. We get Lazelle over on our side. She's taking all the big throw-ins, push forward people and attack them. And we have corners, we have free kicks, we have opportunities. And that's all you need to do. All we needed to do was get at them a bit.
Yeah, I know.
It was a formation thing. I do think, generally speaking, we look really good with that. Well, it's cool. I think they would like us to kind of say it's a four at the back, and then Connolly is technically a midfielder who drops into the back three when we're out of possession. I don't know. I don't know what they're saying. But anyway, you know, when we went to a definite back four and Fionn went up front, we looked good. But then that was also when it was over. We were 2-0 down at that point and we had nothing to be frightened about anymore. So then we start playing. So it's just like we need to kind of think at West Ham, we had the right balance of... because we conceded first and then we went at them.
Yeah.
And then we just kind of made it happen. Like anything that they did, we reacted. We gave as much back.
But we had that Jamie Lee energy, like... just going out the wing, you know, and just Jamie Lee's just, she's such a good footballer and
she's just turned into, well,
you know,
didn't quite realise how important she was. I think we got an idea that she was like a Bristol player who all the fans were going to just love because of her energy, her commitment. She seems to be a little bit, maybe a bit mouthy, just got like a lot of nice characteristics. Like that's... I don't know if it's all Bristol City fans, but that's my kind of favourite type of player, really. If you're kind of just gobby, energetic, creative,
just love great feet.
Yeah, just great. Just kind of someone who seems to be like kind of volume turned up to 11 when they play football. I really like that type of player. And that's the sort of player who's like, whose energy kind of drags everybody else.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, especially when Abby and Fernie went off, you kind of felt like, who's going to be the person?
Who's the leader?
Who's going to be doing it? Because, I just think you need those kind of really kind of, you need those types of people to kind of grab people and go, come on, do this.
Yeah.
Or someone to just do something really excellent and that kind of individual, someone, you know, Lauren Smith's kind of interview afterwards did kind of just, you know, she did say, a little bit of laying the blame at the players' feet, because actually they should be able to make some sort of response. That's how we've played. That system is how we've played and won and lost. It's just like, you can make that system win. We didn't necessarily need to make a change, but when the players obviously aren't able to initiate that change themselves, that's when the coach does it. You know, like you said, when, you know, why didn't Liv Clark sit on a bottom at 70 minutes? And everyone goes over and goes, right, okay, Lazelle, start doing this. Start doing your banana passes out from the back and start, you know, someone start making a move up the wing. Ella, start running. Someone start doing something. That's, yeah, you know, if the players can't do it, and it was a long old time.
Oh, it was felt like it went on forever.
It felt like kind of 30, 40 minutes of just being, we're just no, like, one doing, yeah, anything. And then finally, when Fionn went up at the front, that's when it started moving a little bit. So yeah, I just, yeah, just kind of, yeah, second half just,
oh, annoying,
gave it so, away,
yeah, really just
but you're right, we looked a bit worried.
We looked worried. I didn't like that.
And that was maybe the first match where we've had so much to lose. And, you know, like the other matches.
A position to lose.
A position to lose. It was the first match where we've been not on the bottom.
Do you believe in yourselves, girls? Yeah.
So this is like the next hurdle, isn't it?
You've got to believe
after
in
West
yourselves.
Ham, Fernie was like, you've just got to believe it.
You've just got to believe it. Because Fernie now, believes it.
Fernie believes it. She told us.
Yeah.
But now it's,
I believe, I believe,
yeah,
her.
You're right. So it's like the first time where we're not on the bottom and we had something to lose.
Something to defend, and we didn't.
And we got a bit worried about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is all learning.
Yeah. I just hope that's not how we limp out of the league.
We're not going to. It's game, what, 5, 6?
I know.
But
I know.
Every game's had like a difference. And yeah, you have to kind of like see some positives in it at least, you know.
I did struggle to see the positives yesterday. I am generally quite a positive wizard when it comes to these kinds of things. Like Amy Rogers was my positive,
mm-hmm,
like seeing her play really, really well and just be, you know, bring, she actually had the energy, the Jamie Lee energy yesterday that was lacking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I, you know, and I thought Ella Powell played really well as well. I thought she had a really good game. Like technically, I think her improvement as a, like her ability to be disciplined and
defend,
but also her ball skills, I think, have really improved this year. She just looks more of a complete footballer. I think she had a good game yesterday. Obviously, Lazelle, I mean, that the tackle, I think it was against Leon,
picked the ball from her
and then got her carded. That was a beautiful moment. So those were the, like, they were nice moments in the game, like when Leon got carded because of Lazelle doing something extraordinary. Fernie's attempt at goal, that thing that Abby Harrison did when she kept the ball in somehow. Amy Rogers generally, you know, Ella being great. Those were good things. But as a team performance, I think it was really limp. It was, as you say, stagnant. It was defeatist, and a little bit troubling. But I'm not going to get completely troubled just yet. But I do think it was something that could have happened. I think we might have plateaued at the West Ham game. I think there was always this potential for, you know, things to not be able to get up for that fixture. It was raining, it was drizzly, it was all a bit November and it's cold and it's Remembrance Sunday and everybody's miserable because the world's gone to shit. But it's, you know, that is the context, right? But I know they're professional, so there's always the potential for that to happen. So anyway, that's that game. So Everton.
So next we go to Everton.
Next Sunday,
which is
another relegation six-pointer potentially. Got to win it, surely.
Oh, but then. Well, we never know. We're on the bottom of the league again. We might go and win it. Might not be frightened. I don't know. I don't really know. It's hard to know, isn't it? It's hard to know in this league.
Yeah. Everton are struggling a bit, that's for sure.
Well, they're down near us, aren't they? Where are they? 10th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got 4 points, so...
Yeah, so they're not doing much better than us, really, are they?
Not really, and they got
then if you
being
think
pounded
the
a couple
teams
of
kind of near the bottom, like West Ham and Villa are the teams kind of down near us. And yeah, neither team looked that frightening.
No, and I think it's one of those things like on your day,
yeah.
If you were like Bristol City on our day could beat Aston Villa if they were playing like that.
On our day, we
could beat West Ham as we did beat West Ham.
Yeah.
I don't know about Everton. I haven't seen them yet. But I think on our day, we could probably give Leicester more of a fight than we could have given.
Because they
got absolutely smashed to bits yesterday against Arsenal. And everybody thought they were going to win. Actually, I felt sorry for them. I mean, it's just...
I mean, it wasn't just...
It was a horror show, wasn't it?
I mean, to go in half-time 2-0 and then after, like...
That goal from Caitlin Ford was just
9 minutes
unreal.
Or something. 9 minutes conceding that many goals. It was so funny, though.
You enjoyed that, did you?
I mean, if it's not happening to you...
Yeah.
It's kind of funny, isn't it?
And then all the Leicester fans on Twitter being like, well, we won the first half, so technically it was a draw.
No.
And I'm like, yeah, you tell yourselves that, guys. That's what we tell ourselves all the time.
To be honest, they did win the first half. They looked great.
They were just cruising.
They made it look so easy, and they scored these two goals and it just looked fantastic.
And everybody's going on about Kirkball. I'm like, what's that?
Yeah.
What's that?
I know. Well, you're not a great fan of the Willy Kirk, are you? So that's, yeah. No,
I don't need to let that one go.
No, it wasn't that it was funny. It was outrageous, perhaps, rather than funny. It was astonishing. That's what it was. It was just, no, every attack, they just scored again and again and again. And it was just ridiculous. Because you actually went to the toilet and you came back and it was 2-2. That's how quick the goals were going in.
Yes, everybody wants to know that I went to the toilet.
I was just trying to kind of.
You could have said I made a cup of tea.
Well, a cup of tea would take longer because our kettle takes a really long time to boil.
So it would have been 3-2 by that.
It would have
been
3-2 then.
Yeah. So that's. I don't know how we ended up talking about that, but
anyone's
on their day.
Yeah, so you've got, you know, Arsenal 6-2 against Leicester. So we've been beaten by both those teams. But you wouldn't... Do you know what I mean? I think, yeah, that's what...
I think on our day we could beat Leicester.
So apart from, like... Yeah, there's a lot of teams
that aren't
playing very well.
Yeah, Tottenham are doing better and, like, perhaps not on our day.
No, I think Tottenham might actually end up being...
A very good
team under this coach.
This new guy.
Yeah, he does look good.
And Brighton are looking good. And, you know, Sophie Bagley watch, getting all the plaudits, which we love to hear.
Absolutely.
Pleased for Sophie Bagley being back in the big time.
Your favourite Bristol player ever?
Favourite Bristol City player of all time, 100%. Like, sorry, Sophie Bagley, but, you know.
Still up there.
Still up there, mate. Like, you're going to get a run for your money this season with some of this lot, but possibly Rachel Furness, maybe. But Sophie Bagley just is such a legend, and everybody's seen it, and it was so nice to see everybody. They're like, oh, she's amazing, and, you know, best signing we've ever had, you know, Bagley masterclass. It's just great, because you're like, why did you go to Man United to go sit on the bench?
Mm-hmm.
And she went to go sit on the bench to recover from getting battered every week when we got relegated during the pandemic. Fair enough. And maybe learn from Mary Earps. Fair enough. You know,
but
you,
it was too long.
There.
I think that's the thing.
This is
it?
Your time. Go, Sophie Bagley. We love you.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Looking forward to seeing her play.
Two whole years of recovery.
It takes a long time to recover from things. And the thing is, don't forget, when Sophie Bagley came on the scene and started playing for Bristol City, she was super young and she was a top, top keeper then. You know,
top
keeper. And, you know, you could see... What a brilliant keeper she was at that point.
Absolutely.
But
perfect.
You know, she needed to sit on the bench.
On the bench and like seethe and
just you know, figure stuff out, learn and, you know, have a bit of time. You know, she's still backed herself and she's back in Brighton, she's backing herself. Looking forward to seeing her play. Gonna be waiting until January before we see Sophie Bagley play against Bristol City.
Is it split allegiance when you see Baggers?
Oof, it's going to be.
Are you going to have a Brighton shirt on that day?
No.
What's the
I wouldn't
Brighton,
go that far.
What's the goalkeeper kit like?
I'm not sure. I think it might be green or something.
Green. How do you think? Is that a good look?
Well, for me?
For anyone.
Like green is classic goalkeeper colour, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's a nice goalkeeper colour.
So that's great. Anyway, very happy
she'll
for...
She'll be in the away kit, so hopefully it'll be...
Well, she'll be in the home kit. Oh. Because we're playing it. We're going to Crawley.
Oh, we're going Crawley. We're yeah. going just because of Baggers, aren't we?
You know. Yeah, I'm excited to see that anyway. And hopefully she'll get her England call up and then we can genuinely support her in that, you know, spirit of like neutrality.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just wanting the football to win. So
well done, Baggers.
Well done, Baggers. So that was about 3 minutes talking about Sophie Bagley and how great she
Not
is.
Not enough, was it?
It certainly wasn't, but maybe for the Brighton episode we could just get you
Baggers
know,
on the phone.
Could get back. Do you reckon she'd come?
She might do.
No, I just don't think she's.
I mean, I think with that, no. Do you remember when you met her?
So, you know, of course, this was in the day when you could actually meet the.
You could meet your stars.
The meet the stars.
So down to earth.
Back in the day. Anyway, like, don't give me too much. I'm not going to edit any of this. So this is all just going.
I don't want you to edit. I want every word.
Everton.
Yeah.
Sunday.
Yeah.
What is Lauren Smith going to be? Do you think she's going to be taking a long, hard look in the mirror? Or do you think she's just going to be able to press reset? Is she going to say, that's my fault, I'm going to figure it out? Or is she going to say, it's a bit of both?
And I think she's entirely reasonable and she's going to say it's a bit of both, isn't she? Because that's what reasonable people would do. She's not going to do some kind of like, you're not good enough, you don't follow my... Like, what would the point be in that? But you also need people to go, okay, well, how could we have reacted differently?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, some teams drag you down. You need to have a very strong sense of identity and purpose because you just get sucked in. I remember watching Norwich men play at Stoke, and Stoke, back then, made everybody play like Stoke, and it was horrible. You just turn into them. It's not very nice football. And it was just like, what's happening? So you have to have like a very strong sense of what you're about, what you do.
A strong core.
Yeah. A strong identity. And I do actually think I get what our team's about. It's not about having, you know, it's not about having the ball a lot. It's about turning the ball over and moving quickly.
Yeah.
Like counter-attacking quickly. Everything, like the only good things we do are quick ones, you know. And then actually, to be fair, we do score a little bit from set pieces as well, but you can only get a set piece from actually being in the right half. You can only get a meaningful set piece from that. So anyway, we've just got to go to Everton with a bit of a kind of, this is what we do, this is how we play. If we concede, we still have to attack.
Yeah,
regardless of what happens, we have to attack, we have to go and score, and we have to go and get goals through the ways that we've been practicing, which is crosses and, well, yeah, a lot of crosses, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mostly crosses.
Yeah, crosses, get your head on it.
Yeah, and that's how exactly. We score. So it's like, you just got to get up there and do it. And it's,
we looked like we'd forgotten how we play. That's what it was.
Yeah, we'd just forgotten what to do. So it's like, get people up and try and score.
Score a goal.
Yeah, exactly. Because, yeah, I think, yeah, I've been surprised that this league is as porous as it is right now, because we never used to score.
No,
we never used to. I thought it was going to be another year of that, but we've scored, and we can
of a barren
experience.
I know, and that's what was missing yesterday. It was like there weren't the yeah, we scored a goal.
We just didn't get the big cheer, did we? No. I think if we'd have got, or even if someone had just absolutely clattered into someone in the second half, if someone had decided, right, I'm just going to tackle Kenzadali really hard. Fair but hard. I think if Fernie had done that, I'd have been up on my feet, and maybe people would. You know, we just needed a thing. We needed a thing, but it just didn't have any things, and that's okay. You know, stuff happens like that sometimes. Sometimes things are just crap, and it was just a bit crap, and everybody just kind of wandered out a little bit.
Yeah. And so draw a line under it, and
just try and
just
actually
go again.
Yeah, you could say, yeah. that we get again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So
we'll learn, we'll go again.
That's right, Lauren. You've been listening to the Bristol City Vixen Cast. We'll catch you next time when
we go again.